follow along as we consider a thankful heart. What is Thanksgiving Day? And what is it supposed to be? Well, the celebration of Thanksgiving Day was established by a decree from George Washington back in 1779. And actually, I would like to read that decree to you as you hear of his reverence for God and the focus of what ought to be. Here's what he says. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Whereas both the Houses of Congress, had by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal benefits of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then unite all in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. That is quite a statement to make about Thanksgiving Day. And to do that, I don't think that would fly very well today, if a statement like that was made, but you can understand how concerned they were about spiritual things and about giving to God His glory. And Thanksgiving Day, that's what it's supposed to be, a day of thanks. Today, people have turned it to Turkey Day, to just doing nothing but eating all day long, partying and everything, and the real focus of Thanksgiving is missed. You see, the Christian gives thanks, not just for material things, but for spiritual blessings as well. God's presence, God's sovereign providence, and His unconditional promises. Ephesians 5:20 says this, that the Christian should give is to give thanks always for all things. And I believe here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, that it teaches us what is essential to know and to remember if we are going to have a thankful heart, if we are going to really celebrate Thanksgiving Day. There are three things I think you must remember and understand and truly believe in your heart to have a thankful heart on Thanksgiving. First of all, I'd like you to notice in verses 4 through 5, the ubiquitous presence of God. The ubiquitous presence of God. Now, if you're not quite familiar with that word, ubiquitous, ubiquity means to be everywhere present at one time in His fullest manifestation. So God is here with us, but God is also on the other side of the world, fully in His manifestation. It's not a piece of God here and a piece of God over there. He is always together. He's present everywhere in His fullest manifestation. And that's what we need to remember. And that's what I think verses 4 through 5 are teaching. Three things I'd like you to note in these verses. First of all, the response to His presence in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Notice what the realization of the presence of God should do to you. You ought to know in your heart that the Lord is always with you, and that He is directing your life. And notice He uses the word rejoice here two times. So, in one verse, when you see two references to something, you know it's important and ought to pay careful attention. Now, when we talk about rejoicing and giving thanks, it's not the same as happiness. Happiness comes and goes, like our emotions. That's what happiness is. God is not committed to your happiness or my happiness at the expense of our holiness. He's more concerned that we are holy and that we are growing in our holiness than he is about our happiness. Now, I'm not saying he's not concerned about that, but I'm saying that's not where the emphasis is. Rejoice, it says in the Lord. Now, in the original language, it's a command. And it's a command to keep on doing it. Keep on rejoicing. And the root of the word is where we get the word grace, charis. That's the root of the word. So when we are rejoicing, we are giving grace. We are saying good things, good words, gracious words to God. And the emphasis on rejoicing is everything about him. Everything that it is. Actually, it's interesting if you see there where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, again, I said it's a command, but there's no article. The word the does not appear in the original language. It's just Lord. And when they do that, it's a way of focusing on the noun or the person about their characteristics. Everything about them. Not just this Savior as opposed to that Savior, but everything about him. Everything. The emphasis is on rejoicing about him because of what he has done and what he is doing and his promises. You see, that's why it says that. Rejoice in the Lord. All about him. Everything. Secondly, notice the effects of his presence in verse 5a, the very beginning. The beginning of verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your gentleness. The realization of the Lord's presence should create not only joy, but a gentleness. And all should see that. And the word there means to do it right away. Do it all. Make that commitment. Rejoice. That's the effect of his presence. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Let it be done right away. It's not progressive. Commitment. Do it, he says. So, if we understand the presence of God, it's going to affect you. We see here, Paul talks about gentleness before all men. So, how are you in relationship to these things? Do you rejoice? Do you have a gentleness and a love? The third thing I'd like you to notice is the encouragement of his presence in the second part of verse 5. Notice he says, the Lord is at hand. And a word for at hand is a word which means nearer or at hand. Many believe, and I think so too, he's talking about the Lord being near to you, not his next coming, but being near to you. The Lord is near is actually the literal translation, but sometimes it's used as at hand. The Lord, he's here, he's with you, the Lord is near you. And you know, when you grab hold of that, that can be very, very encouraging. To think about that. His presence. His nearness. He's with us. He's with you. What a blessing that is to see that. So, the ubiquitous presence of God. Always there, always every place at one time. You see, to really have a thankful heart, you must remember his presence everywhere, at all times, with you, that he's in control of things, even things you don't understand. That's why he tells you to live by faith. The second main point is the sovereign providence of God in verse 6. The sovereign providence of God. That is important if you are going to have a thankful heart. If you're going to have a thankful heart. He says here in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, under the sovereign providence of God, there are three things that we need to focus on, that you need to focus on. First of all, remember His providence. And again, providence is that is where God is working out the details of your life, day by day, directing you. Remember His promise. Be anxious for nothing. Now, the word "be anxious" is an interesting word. It's an onomatopoetic word. It's a merimanao. You could hear it. You could feel it. Merimanao. And that word that we translate anxious can also be distracted. In other words, don't be distracted. And again, a command. Don't let other things influence you when it's regarding the providence of God and His directing your life. Don't let anyone tell you that's not happening if you're a Christian. That's what he's saying. And actually, literally, it's written in a way that means stop being distracted or anxious. Stop it. Paul's writing, because apparently it was going on. Stop. And that word anxious, as I mentioned, which can be distracted, is a word that has to do with a very intense desire. Very strong, intense desire. Don't let that happen. Remember the sovereign providence of God. That's the first thing. Secondly, pray acknowledging His providence. You see this in the second part of verse 6. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, that's another thing about the sovereign providence of God. When you pray, acknowledge that. Realize you're praying to a sovereign God. And His providence is always unfolding His will. We don't pray to try to change God's mind about something. We pray to have God change our minds about things, that His will come forth. So, this is so important. Acknowledge it when you pray. And I suggest to you that everyone is reformed in their theology when they're on their knees, because when you pray, that's exactly what you're acknowledging: God's power over all things, His sovereignty. Things are not left to chance or a person's ability. Because if we could do that, if we could resolve things in our own strength, who would need God? Who would need to pray? It would all be according to us, and that's not true. Thirdly, recognize the authority of His providence, the second part. Be known to God. Let your requests be known to God. Recognize His sovereign the authority of His providence. If God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and we know the Scripture teaches that, He will deal with all things. You're just called to trust Him and to walk with Him. He is the one to talk to and to bring all your concerns to. He's God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding, and He will direct your path. And the word "lean not on your own understanding" is there because that's what we try to do in issues, especially things that are not going well or we find to be difficult. We wonder. We try to figure them out ourselves. We try to figure out God. He says, don't do that. Just trust Him and walk with Him. Talk to the Lord about everything. Everything in your life. Talk to Him. He's the sovereign, almighty God. And if you truly believe in the sovereign, believe in the sovereign providence of God, you can have a truly thankful heart and a wonderful Thanksgiving day. So we've come through 2 points: God's ubiquitous presence, we respond, the effects of it, the encouragement. Then the sovereign providence of God. Just remember His providence, acknowledge His providence, then recognize the authority of His providence. Providence, because He has authority over all things. But sometimes we focus on the wrong things. We focus on situations, on circumstances, on this or on that, and we're not focusing on the Lord our God who has made said these things to us. Interesting, humorous story about focusing on the right thing. One of golf's immortal moments came when a Scotsman demonstrated the new game to President Ulysses Grant. Carefully placing the ball in the tee, he took a mighty swing. The club hit the turf and scattered dirt all over the president's beard and surrounding vicinity, while the ball placidly waited on the tee. Again, the Scotsman swung, and again he missed. Our president waited patiently through six tries, and then quietly said, "There seems to be a fair amount of exercise in this game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." You see, you're not focusing on the right thing. You're focusing on things around and not on the real, genuine, right thing. How important that is. Then thirdly, I'd like you to notice in verse 7, the unbreakable promises of God. The unbreakable promises of God. Verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." First of all, recognize the power of God's promises, the beginning of verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Peace of God, that peace that we all need in our lives, can only come from God. And it says it will surpass all understanding. And that word "surpass" means to hold above, or to be superior, or to be supreme. Again, it's a present tense, which means continually. The power God's presence will do, if you understand His promises, the power of His promises. And then He goes on to talk about surpasses all understanding. He goes on to proceed to talk about the will guard your hearts and mind. He makes that statement. That's the second point. The security of God's promises in verses 7b. He will guard your heart and mind. Will guard is something continual. He's doing it all the time. And the word is a military word. And it means to continually keep under guard and protection. He will guard your hearts and your minds. The word "mind" is a word that refers to thoughts that are carefully considered, carefully thought out. He's going to guard that when we focus on Him and dwell in His Word and what He says. Then thirdly, lastly, the mediator of God's promises. Notice their unbreakable promises, and notice who the mediator of those promises are. In verse 7, the very end, through Christ Jesus. All of this comes about, and through our Lord Jesus. He brings about all the promises of God. He is your guarantee that all the promises of God will be fulfilled. He can't fail. If they were left up to us, our ability, or someone else, it wouldn't last. But this perfect God-man, who is now risen, ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, is your guarantee that all God's promises are with you. You know, promises like He'll never leave you or forsake you. Promises that He'll live within you. Promises to direct your life. Promises, many, many promises He makes. the unbreakable promises of God in verse 7. And you see, that's what a thankful heart has to do. If you want a thankful heart, is that we have to do. Stop worrying. Focus on the right thing. Focus on the Lord your God. Remember His providence, His sovereign providence. Remember His presence and His promises. Don't forget them. And when you do, it'll change your heart. If you really think about them and you're really in your heart and you really believe them, He will give you an incredibly thankful heart. You have to believe them. You have to read them in God's Word. Pray that all those who are here and those who listen through sermon audio will have a relationship with this Lord Jesus Christ, that you've acknowledged your sin and that you can't save yourself, that God's law is too high, it's too great. You're born a sinner and you can't save yourself. That's why Jesus came. He went to the cross and paid for the sins of His people. Whoever will call upon His name will be saved. And I hope today that you will take that very seriously and think about your destiny and where you're going to spend eternity. Let these verses encourage and strengthen your faith and give you a thankful heart. Not because of you, but because of who the God you serve is, the God who loves you. Let this Thanksgiving Day begin a new understanding of who God is and what He has done and will do in your life and in you. If you do, you will have a very thankful and joyful heart. Thankful, joyful heart. As you celebrate this Thanksgiving Day, may the Lord bless us with that kind of heart to be incredibly thankful, not just on this day, but all year long. Celebrate Thanksgiving with a thankful heart.